Well, good morning, Austin Oaks Church. How are you all doing today? I was looking at these candles over here, and I'm just, I guess I can't go too long. Those are my timers over there, because if it starts burning, we're in trouble. Hey, we're going to dig right into the Word of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. You guys okay with that to jump right in? Let's do it. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for the Word of God, which is a guiding post, a guiding light, a blueprint, a map to who you are, Jesus. Lord, help us to understand and embrace the reality of the Word of God, not just today, but every single day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Really short passage here we're going to go through. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, right? We talk about God with us a lot. Emmanuel. During the Christmas season. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to his son and gave him the name Jesus. Now here's the part I want us to focus on. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." This is the key for us to understand. These magi basically are a foreshadowing for us. What they're doing thousands of years ago is what we're doing right now. We're looking forward. We're looking forward. We're looking with expectation to the celebration of God with us. And so Advent essentially just means expect. Expectations. And we all have expectations, right? Now most of us, I would think, have positive expectations, but we all have some kind of measure of expectations. And it doesn't matter what your expectations are. Your expectations could be something like, I'm expecting a year-end bonus, or I'm expecting a new job, or I'm expecting this really cool Christmas present, or it can do with relationships. I'm expecting to reconcile with this person. I'm expecting to have restoration in my relationship with this person. Or it could be about anything that you can possibly fathom. There's expectations in our lives, whether you realize it or not, conscious or not. It could be an expectation for health. And it doesn't just have to be, I expect to have better physical health because I expect to work out more this next year, or I expect to have greater spiritual health because I'm going to dig into the Word of God and I'm going to really plow in. But here's the key about these expectations, because they all have one thing in common. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. You see, even if your boss says you're getting a year-end bonus, what happens if something catastrophic happens, right? And the economy turns upside down and that bonus that you're expecting doesn't come. Or if the person who you had talked to that you're going to have reconciliation with changes their mind. Because I've been a pastor long enough to see that happen plenty of time. But here's the one thing. Here's the one thing about Advent and expectation. That we are guaranteed in the expectation to be loved by Jesus. We're guaranteed to be loved by Jesus. So Advent is the several weeks leading up to Christmas. And we're going to go through several different words that really should shape our faith. And today, obviously, it's love. Love should shape our faith, right? Love should shape our faith. And so I was kind of praying about this, and I was thinking about, you know, what verse am I going to go through in terms of love, because there's so much on love, and the Lord led me to John chapter 15, verse 9. So let's turn there. The last of the Gospels, John 15, verse 9. And there's a lot to, this is a short passage, but there's a lot to it. And here's the thing about it. We're going to go through it, we're going to dig through it, and then we're going to unpack it, okay? We're going to unpack it together. You see what I did right there? Unpack Christmas. All right. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's a whole other sermon right there, and I wanted to camp there because there's some good stuff right there. But this is the next part that we're really going to be focusing on today. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has none other than this. Greater love has no one other than this, that he or she will lay down their life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. So, red letter here, right? This is Jesus speaking. And basically what he's saying is, he's saying a whole lot in a very short amount of time, but he's basically saying true love requires expectation, guarantee, remembrance, and sacrifice. Now, a few months back, we talked about we love because God first loved us, and that's huge. And that's absolutely huge, but we have to also understand that in that same book, in 1 John, he says God is love. The Apostle Paul says God is love, noun. So he embodies all that love is. So we want to look at it from that perspective, that if he is love, and he says all these things about requiring expectation, guarantee, remembrance, and sacrifice, what can we do with that? So we have to unpack this a little bit. So let's first talk about the expectation, the looking forward to. And for me, it's really easy, because looking forward to Christmas this year has been the easiest thing ever, because I just look at my 6-year-old son Joshua, and it's like a light switch was flipped, and he has just totally embraced the Christmas spirit like I've never seen before. I mean, he just couldn't wait for Christmas to start, the whole season of it. You know, when we were talking about getting the Christmas tree, when are we going to get the Christmas tree? We're going to go right after Thanksgiving. When are we going to light the Christmas tree? Right after Thanksgiving. When are we going to decorate the Christmas tree? Right after Thanksgiving. So he was totally embracing. And so we celebrate by going to get a tree at the same day every year. It's a Saturday, and we put the tree up, and I light it, and then we put the ornaments up, and we start decorating the house. Now, this is a whole day-long process. You have to understand, this is a day-long process, and it's a long day. And so after a while, most of us, my wife and I and our other two older children, get a little bit weary from it, and so we just start moving on. My wife is decorating other things, and my other kids are doing whatever they're doing, and I'm certainly not involved in it. But I come back at one point, and there's Joshua, hours later, decorating the Christmas tree by himself. I mean, this kid embraces Christmas like no one I'd ever seen before. And every day, he wakes up and he says, Dad, have you seen the presents under the tree? I'm like, yeah, I've seen the presents. Did you see this one, though? This one, do you know who it's for? Do you know who it's from? Yes, I know who it's from. I know who it's for. Every day, something different. Every day, did you see the presents today, Dad? Did you see that there's maybe more today? I'm like, I didn't see that, Joshua, but I trust that you counted them already. Dad, can I go outside and light the lights tonight before it gets dark? Yes, and before he goes to bed. Dad, can I go turn out the lights? Absolutely. Dad, let's go walk down the street, because did you know, Dad, that there's 8 houses on our block alone that have lights on them? 8, but you know, there's 3 houses that don't have lights on them. Why do you think that is? I don't know, Joshua. Maybe they don't sell them. I don't know. But Dad, did you see the one that, there's the one with the reindeer pulling the sled with Santa in it, and then there's the one with the Disney characters. But Dad, none of them are as good as ours. None of them are as good. He's so proud. So why is he doing this? Because he's looking forward to Christmas Day. And the true meaning of Christmas is looking forward to the one who we can embrace, that embraces us in love and all that it embodies. In all fairness, Joshua doesn't fully grasp this all yet, but he is getting there. But here's the next part. We don't just look forward to love, because we have to talk about this. We have to expect it. We have to expect it. Now, after service today, I don't know. I haven't been watching football a whole lot this year, but I'm imagining that most of us would go home to our TVs and turn on the game, and we expect certain teams to win. Like, I think the Rams and Saints are good this year, even then the Cowboys beat them or whatever. I don't even know. But we expect certain teams to win. But again, that's not a guarantee. But with Jesus, we're guaranteed to be loved, and it's not just the excitement of the moment arriving. I would even say that there's excitement in the guarantee. You see, here's the thing. Sometimes I believe that we forget, and this is where the whole process looks forward to. And I was getting bogged down with this myself, and I was kind of sharing with the staff. It's easy for us to look back and remember that Jesus died on a cross for us, and that embodies love, right? It's even easy to look in the Bible, which it says is active and alive, and says he loves us. But here's the thing. Here's where I think we really get tripped up. I know I certainly do, is that we don't expect him to love us necessarily. Why do we do that? Because we put our expectations on Jesus. And remember we talked about all those different things, all the different expectations that aren't guaranteed, but the love of Jesus is guaranteed to come to pass. For those of you that have kids, do you remember when that child was in the womb and getting ready to be born? All I know is I was so excited. I was so looking forward to that baby coming. That was about 15, 20 pounds for me ago. So I was so excited. I couldn't wait for this baby to come and enter my world and change my world. And I knew that I was going to love this baby and this little human being, and they were going to love me back. And I think those are very realistic and attainable expectations. But the sad reality is sometimes that doesn't work out that way. Again, I've seen it. There's a lot of loveless relationships around there, around us. But how much more excitement during this season of Advent, of expectation, should we be looking forward and expecting the presence of God to experience the love of Christ? We have to remember also that we have to look backwards, right? We have to remember. And I think with Advent, sometimes we don't go back far enough when we talk about the love of Christ and the sacrifice it takes. Because again, we think of Jesus on the cross and say, man, that is love, and it is. But did you ever think about God coming as a little baby and the sacrifice that is? I mean, you have to think about that for a second. So the second in the Trinity, God the Father sent through the Holy Spirit his son to us as a baby. What are babies? Babies are 100% dependent on someone or something else to care for them, right? You have to believe that is a sacrifice. That shows you that his love, the measure of his sacrifice, was there from the get-go. He's showing us the celebration of Jesus coming as a baby, willingly giving up his ability to take care of himself in this temporal setting. That's a sacrifice. He sacrificed for us in love. The God that breathed the earth and the universe into existence came down as a baby. I would think that none of us, if we were in that position, would ever willingly do that. Christ's love was not just in words, but actions. Which means what? Our love must be in actions as well. A genuine understanding of love requires us to receive love, and a genuine understanding of love requires us to give love. You can't do it without understanding it. You can't receive it, you can't give it without understanding it. There's an understanding that requires us to receive this love and requires us to give this love. Since Advent means expect, do we have a role in this expectancy? You gotta hear me on this one a little bit. This isn't about works, this is about this opportunity to partake and participate in God's love. So with Advent, what do we expect? Well, I would say that we are to expect from ourselves to love. Not just being asked to love, you should be expecting it with a kind of joy. And that may be hard for some of us to hear, right? Because some of us haven't really experienced love in all of its different facets here on earth, right? But I would say if you have received Jesus in your life, then you've received love and experienced love in the most important and predominant way possible. So at the very least, you have that. Expect not just to be loved, but expect to love like Christ did, sacrificially. Love expects a sacrifice. This isn't about works. This is about us getting to partner with God. Love expects a sacrifice. And that's not expecting a sacrifice from somebody else. That's God basically saying, I expect it from you. If you have my love in me, I expect it from you. So we're to look forward to our own sacrifice and love. Now, what does that mean for you? I don't know. And that's the really cool part. That's between you and God. John 15, 13 says, greater love has none other than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. My question to you is, will you be willing to be brave enough to ask God? Because I think that God would show us that we can love beyond our expectations. My wife and I began our church ministry by leading this fantastic group of young adults. Fantastic group of young adults with fantastic problems. I mean, far more so than anything I'd experienced as a young adult. Not that it wasn't around, but it was just more prevalent. Alcohol abuse, drug misuse and abuse, and addiction. Sexual promiscuity, addictions, pornography, all these things. It was literally overwhelming. And these were people who were following God by and large, dealing with some of these things and problems and issues. Now, my wife and I were completely passionate about this group. Passionate young people, and we were passionate about them because we wanted to see them walk in the fullness of Christ. My wife would go meet with the young women. I would meet with the young men. We would disciple them. She would go meet them for coffee and lunch. We'd have them over for dinner. We had them over as a group. We were completely passionate about them because we wanted to see what God was going to do in this next generation. Now, one of these young men that I was discipling, as serious as the problems are, this young man had very serious issues of rejection, hurt, and pain to the extent that he wanted to take his own life. And he was just being honest with us, and we walked with him, we prayed with him, we counseled him, we pastored him, myself, my wife, our leaders. We stood with him. We did all that we could do with him, everything. And one day, I get a call, and it's a Thursday, and I'll never forget it's a Thursday, and I'll tell you why in a second. I get a call saying that this young man and his family made a very intentional decision to go into a hospital because he was going to hurt himself. That's just a reality of it, the cold, hard reality of it. And so I get this call, and it's on a Thursday, and it's about, whatever, 4:35 or whatever. And the reason why I know it's a Thursday, because that's the night that we held our young adult service. So I get the call, hang up, I go to my wife, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, you got to go see him. I was like, you're right. You're right, I have to go see him. I'm supposed to lead a service. I'm supposed to go preach. It's probably going to be a really good sermon. Joking. Sort of. Anyway, I have to go. So I call up one of the other leaders. I say, you're up, you're preaching tonight, you've prepped for it, you're ready for it, you're going to be great. So I'll never forget that drive down. I'll remember, we lived in the northern part of the city at that point. I drove down, it was just getting dark, and by the time I got, I literally remember the roads I went on. I went east in our city after I got off the highway and drove to this building. It was dark at this point. I parked my car. I got out of my car. I go to this place where I'm checking in. It's almost like as if you're going to a prison. I have to unload my pockets, take everything out, my rings, my keys, my phone, everything, because all these people were in there because they were potentially going to harm themselves, and they wanted to take away everything that they could potentially use. I sign my name in, I hand them my driver's license, I tell them who I am in relation to this young man. I go and I'm led into this room and I sit down. And in he walks. Shame, rejection, fear, pain, all over his face. And he sits down and I just look at him and I said, what can I do? What can I do? He's like, I don't know. And so we started to chat, and after a few moments, I don't even know if it was minutes, it might have been seconds, he said, wait a second. I said, what? He's like, isn't today Thursday? He's like, isn't today Thursday? I'm like, it is. He's like, aren't you supposed to be leading the young adult ministry right now? I was like, no, I'm supposed to be here. Somebody else has that covered. Tears poured down his face. Because you see, he hadn't experienced somebody's, let's just be honest, it wasn't me sacrificing a whole lot. It was a sermon I was going to get to preach the next week or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. It was his service. It didn't matter. It was a small sacrifice. But he hadn't ever experienced that kind of love and that kind of acceptance. And he was just in tears over it. He had been rejected in so many different ways by his family and friends and loved ones. He didn't even understand it. He couldn't even comprehend it. And I'm telling you, I was just modeling Christ. I mean, if I can be really transparent with you, before I became a Christian, there's no way under the sun I would have sacrificed even to that little measure. There's no way. Far too selfish. I'm not even sitting here saying I'm perfect. It's still the love of Christ that compels me to do things like that. Jesus, the King of Kings, keeps it very simple for us. You have to think about this for a second. The King of Kings, who could have been born anywhere he wanted, in palatial magnificence, opulence, gemstones, gold, whatever, could have been born anywhere. But he came and chose to be born in a barn. He made himself accessible to us. To you and me from the very get-go. What an incredible sacrifice that is. I cannot tell you this. And I was praying about it more. I just don't even know how to express it. I promise you, me going down to see this young man wasn't for him, totally. It wasn't just for him. It certainly wasn't just for me. It was for those leaders and that group that I'd left behind. They needed to see that this ministry had everything to do with people and individuals, much more so than a service. A service is just a mechanism where we come together and assemble together and worship together and hear the word of God together. I'm telling you right now, I know a lot of these young folks are leaving their own ministries right now, and I know them. I promise you this, it fed their souls what they saw the compelling love of Christ do in that moment. It fed their souls, and I know it fed their souls because it said, and it says, love is a fruit, right? Love is a fruit. We can look at that and take it literally that we're to eat of it. We're to eat of it. This fruit isn't just extended to us. It's supposed to produce more and more fruit, but you can't give love like this unless you've received love like this. You can't do that. What would happen if we were to experience love and not pass it on? It wouldn't be a lasting fruit. Lasting fruit. Fruit that will last and endure. It would be a stalemate, an ending. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Last little passage. We all know this. Most of us know this, that this is the love chapter here, but I don't want to tell you about the different virtues and characteristics of love. I want to show you what it means when we don't lay down our life in love. Here's what the Apostle Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong, clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and speak of the mysteries before me and can fathom all these mysteries and knowledge and a faith that can move a mountain, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. You can see and experience a whole lot of stuff. You can have the favor of God all over of life, and you can. You can have the favor of God. You could be the most successful business person. You can have incredible societal standings. But it's not just that you don't have love and you don't have anything. It's not just that. Let me tell you, this is hard to hear, but it's also true. If you don't have the love of Christ, it's not that you just don't have the love of Christ, you don't have anything to offer. You have nothing to offer is what Paul's saying. And I think that Jesus is making it crystal clear to us. This has nothing to do with what you do in the works, in a works mentality. This is embracing our possible role in partnering with Christ during the season. Christ's love and life was moving in one direction from the very get-go. And that was him laying down his life in love for us. Here is Advent in a nutshell. Expect God's love in God's perfect timing. Expect it. Expect it. Don't put your expectations on God. Be brave. Ask him, what can I do to show and embrace love during this season? Expect God's perfect love in God's perfect timing. For some of us, me, that time is now. For some of us, that time is now. Maybe you've never experienced God's love. Maybe you haven't experienced God's love in a long time. That time is right now. That time is right now. He's speaking. He's giving us his perfect love. Again, Emmanuel, God with us. This is a celebration of God being with us. Do you know in the Old Testament that there was only one person one time a year that could go into the presence of God? One person, one time a year to go in the presence of God. Now, he's accessible to us 24/7 because he decided to come down and meet us where we are, even though he didn't have to do that. Christmas season, Christmas spirit, isn't about all these materialistic things that we talk about and look at and all the decorations that I put up on my house and all. I mean, I love it. I love it, and I love that my son loves it. It's so cool. But Christmas spirit, and it genuinely is it. There's something that you can't even describe about it. It's because God's heart and his love are on display for all to see during this season. He's offering it. He's offering it to you and to me and to those around us, and we need to receive it. I know this message was for me. I guarantee you that. I'm imagining it's for some of us in here too. I want to pray for us. I'm going to invite our prayer team up right now to come. If you want prayer, have the courage to stand up and be prayed over, because God is speaking. He wants you to understand that he is here and he is accessible and his love is accessible to us right now. He wants us to produce fruit that will last, not fruit that is a stalemate that comes to an end. He's offering you a Christmas gift far beyond anything that you and I could ever imagine or fathom. I would just say to us, receive it. So we have our prayer team up here. If you're not comfortable doing that, I'm going to pray for you right now, but I would encourage you to stand with somebody and share what your burdens are with somebody else. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to share our lives with other people, and I can't think of a better and safer place to do that than this church. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you. We thank you for Advent. We thank you for the virgin birth. Come on up if you need prayer, just come on up. Lord, we thank you that we can be excited in the expectancy of love. We can be excited in the guarantee of love. We can be excited that you chose to be God amongst us, even though you didn't have to. You made yourself accessible to every person, no matter where they're at in life, Lord. And Lord, help us to not put our expectations that we've all seen at some point in our life fail and not come to pass. Help us to not put our temporal expectations on your eternal reality, your eternal guarantee of love and the importance of love. Lord, you didn't just signify and signal us to look at the cross and understand that we've been loved. And you didn't just show us that you are loved, but you want to show us that we should expect it no matter what we do. We can't possibly earn it, and we never will. And we don't want to. We don't have the ability to. Help us to not put our unrealistic expectations, the ones that don't come to pass, the ones that have failed us, the ones that have disappointed us, the ones that have strangled out our dreams of God in our life, God, help us to not put those expectations onto a God who is so willingly able to come down and willingly loving enough to come down as a baby, a sacrifice of love from the get-go. Lord, help us to understand that without that compelling virtue of love being so prevalent and so embodied in your life, Lord, that you came down and sacrificed in love for every single person in here, every single person who's hearing the words coming out of my mouth right now, you've spoken to and are speaking to and will continue to speak to. Lord, help us. Lord, me first. Help me to produce fruit that will genuinely last. Lord, we bless you in this place. We honor you in this place. And we love you in this place. And we thank God for the virgin birth. We thank God that you came as a lowly servant and you're going to return as a conquering king. I thank God that you made yourself accessible to you, to everyone in here, to myself, and all of the people in this room that are hearing my voice right now. In Jesus' name.